Hi, I'm Roger Maloney.
And I'm Monty Burnett Maloney.
And welcome to After the Kids Go to Bed. Monty, what's this show about?
Our show is about following our journey through marriage, children, work, and our life balance while as a family in New York City.
Just like the city that never sleeps, life for us starts after the kids go to bed. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Yeah. Yo, what's going on, man? Well, this before we get started, let me welcome Andre Mullen to After the Kids Go to Bed, the Father's Edition. The Father's Edition.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Andre Mullen, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out your busy schedule for coming on.
And man, thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. So, the question I always wanted to, I would love for people to know is, how do you balance fatherhood and your business and all the stuff that you're doing at the same time? Take us to the beginning, bro. Where did all this stuff come out of? How do you manage it?
Well, I will definitely say that the critical piece of management is based on time management is based.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
And you know, I have three children. They are in their teens. They are, you know, I have twins that are turning 20. I have a younger one that's turning, you know, 19. So the process and their growth has been something that has taken up time, yes, you know.
Dre, you still there?
Yeah, bro.
Sorry about that, bro.
Yeah, you were talking about time management.
Yeah, time. So I would say this: time management is mind management, and really, mind management is time management. So, what I have always made my business to be, as my children were growing up, I made it my business to be present. I wasn't always. And when I say present, being in the moment, I wasn't always there because of building a business and work. However, when I was there, I was present. And so they remember those things. They remember that when I was there. And, you know, so because I know a lot of parents kind of beat themselves up with as being entrepreneurs, they think that, you know, I can't really do this because my household will suffer. But I mean, hey, it's the same thing about if you're working a full-time job.
Yeah.
And a job that's demanding. You've gotta make it work. And you gotta make it work with having a family. And you know, thank God I had a great in place with my wife.
Yeah.
And that is key. That's critical. And I was able to really be there. So, you know, it's not easy though. I'll just say that it's not easy, but it's work and you gotta be committed to the work. That's how I feel.
Yeah. What I also want to ask you is there's been so many transitions, but you stayed consistent within this whole music industry field. Now, take us to the beginning. You knew to do art. You went from managing an artist to gospel radio to doing your own conference at our folk and going to a lot of conferences. Take us through, man. Take us through the journey.
Yeah, it was a journey. I'm currently in my almost 5 years
wow.
in the music industry. And when I first started, I started as an artist, on the verge of getting signed, then got into, really fell in love with the business and the behind the scenes aspect of music and wanting to know, how things work and how things tick. And, when I professionally started in the music industry, I was in music publishing. That was my first like paid gig
nice.
In the music industry, was in music publishing. I did music publishing for 3 years. I did it for a production company that was a feeder, kind of like a feeder company. They had a joint partnership at the time with Columbia. And I was the guy who, when they signed artists to demo deals, I was the guy that everyone had to see first before they hit the studio to talk about publishing.
Right.
To make sure that publishing was correct and all of that good stuff. So I was that guy. When I actually became a Christian, when I converted and became a Christian, I think that's when I began getting involved in all kinds of stuff. I knew I had touched a lot of pieces of the business already. And to be honest, the concept at the time was, hey, you gotta know everything, you gotta be able to do everything, you gotta be a one-stop shop. And I embraced that too. And I was like, all right, yeah, I'll be a one-stop shop. I'll do this. And as I tell people, one of the things that I had come to realize is that I was literally a jack of all trades, a master of absolutely none of things.
Mm.
Nothing. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that I didn't know. I knew a lot. But I didn't master anything. And it wasn't until years later, that I realized that the frustration that I felt was because I was so fragmented. I couldn't really, I was really no good to anybody because I was so fragmented.
You was multitasking and before that became.
Yes, yes. I was doing everything. And at some point you realize like, wait a minute, hold up. Yeah, this isn't gonna work. And I think what happened is that the low hanging fruit for me throughout in the early part of my career was radio. You and I have done radio at college and after college, I got involved in radio. I still was in radio and I was in gospel radio. And I think what started happening with me with gospel radio was that I started hearing music that sounded the same. It sounded the same. It was presented the same way. I mean, Roger, what we used to get at school, you know what I'm saying? It was the presentation was poor, and I got frustrated. And I was working for a station, on Long Island, and they were paying me a little something.
And, I remember that. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But I was like, "Yo, this is kind of lame. Like, the music is all the same." And right. I'm out. That's how I was. I was like, "I'm out." and I remember. When I left gospel radio, I really embraced I really embraced gospel rap and gospel hip hop, and I embraced that, and I saw it as something that was really starting to bubble and starting to really move. And I got involved in a niche. And again, I got to a place, even as gospel rap moved into gospel hip hop, which then turned into Christian hip hop. I got to a place where the frustration I had was that we talk about music and a desire for music to make an impact. And you can't make an impact when you talk to five people. You know what I'm saying? And I say, I use that number in relation to the size of the niche. Not that Christian hip hop is corny or anything like that, but I'm talking about in the size of the niche. So you can't really make an impact when you talk to five people. And I really felt that music can't do this. This music can do this, but it can't do this where we're mediocre in our approach, and we're not really about reaching people. So that's where I came to a place.
You felt they were trying to not reaching people, but they're trying to get on platforms like the BTs.
The music I felt was, but I also felt that the music had limitations, not in its lyrical content, but in its presentation and how it was presented. I never felt that Christian hip hop was incapable of reaching the masses. I always felt that its presentation is what made it a stalwart, where people were just like, yeah, all right, never mind. You know, So that's where what I've always felt. But then, you know, again, you move as I move through the decades of working in the music industry, I realize that, and my heart is that I want to impact people. I want to impact the music industry. And I think the best way to do that is to live a life poured out in front of people. You have to do that. I feel as a believer, as a Christian, my heart is, I want to live a life poured out in front of people that they say, wait a minute, this guy is a Christian. And it's not about being a Christian because, oh, he runs a Christian record label or he runs a Christian management. It's like, no, this guy does things, speaks in ways that is definitely different. I need to know why. And that's how I've had to transition. Instead of making it about, I have to be so caught up on this, have this platform. I needed to be, which is what I know where I shifted. I needed to be razor focused. And I came across a book that's called The One Thing.
Good book.
Great book.
Good book.
Great book.
I got a lot of highlights in that book in my copy.
Man, I've read it 10 times. And that book changed my life. That book literally changed my life. It's by Gary Keller. That book changed my whole life perspective, just gave me a different perspective on what I was doing. And I literally said, all right, you're doing too much. It's nothing more frustrating than going to talk to people at networking events, especially, and you tell them all these things you do. And you're really just throwing up on this person. Yeah, I do this. Yeah, I do this. Oh, yeah, you know, you can come to me. I can do this. You can blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, I realize that people genuinely like me. They do. But I hated the fact that someone could literally walk away, say, yo, that guy, Andre, yo, he's a good dude. I just don't know exactly what he does. He does a lot of stuff. I don't know exactly what he does.
That's a lot of people's problem. That's a lot of, because we're so used to, because we came up in an era, we're watching what Master P's doing, we're watching what Diddy's doing, we're watching what Jay-Z's doing, and everybody was like, if I want to get accepted, I got to present myself like all of this.
Right. And that's the thing, is that there's so many people that turn around and they're like, yo, but I could do all these things. And it's like, yeah, man, but I need to know that if I need this, I can call this guy. It's, you know what I liken it to? You have that you call, well, I'll put it this way. I have a guy that we use for our plumber. It's our plumber. Anything wrong with the plumbing in my house, I call him.
You're right.
He does not come to my house and put up walls. He does not come to my house and look at my electricity. He doesn't do that. He comes to my house, he deals with my plumbing, because I call him about my plumbing. Now, if he said to me, yo, I'm a handyman, I can do whatever you need.
That's scary.
Guess what? I don't know if I necessarily need this. And I might not call him. Even though he could do everything, he may not be able to do what the thing that I really need him for well. So I'm going to call a specialist. He may know about electrical work, but I'm not really calling him. I'm calling an electrician. He may know how to put up sheetrock, but I'm not calling him. I'm calling someone that deals in construction. So it's the same mindset. And I really tell entrepreneurs this, is that you want to know why you don't get called for certain things? It's because you've never positioned yourself as this person. You've positioned yourself as, you know, a lot of stuff. And guess what? Think about it, Roger. You don't think about a person who can do everything. You think when you have a problem and it needs a specific person, you think about that person that does that. Not, that's good. Oh, this guy over here, yo, he puts up walls, he does plumbing, he does you don't think about that dude. You don't think about that dude. You're like, yo, I need my boiler looked at. Yo, let me call this the technician. That's who I'm calling. Right. So that was something that I had to adopt in my own business, is that, all right, Dre, no more of this able to do whatever now. Right. No more of this, yo, I can do this, I can do this. Oh yeah, you what you need? I got that. Well, what you need? I can do that. What you need? No. Now it's like, hey, I want people to know that this is what I do. So that way, when they call me, they get that. They don't get anything else. So that's something that I'm telling entrepreneurs.
That's good.
You know, you got to focus on that. You got to really focus on that.
I know, because sometimes people get distracted and they want to. It's like kids going to daycare for the first.
Right.
Some of you will go, oh, I want to play with this block. I want to be over here. No, I want to do this. Another thing I want to talk about is the conference you did.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the reason why you created your own conference. Talk about things you enjoyed about it, things you didn't enjoy about it, and we're gonna transition about what you get ready to do next.
Well, you know, the conference. So I want to see artists in particular, but people in general win. And in all the years that I'm working with artists, with professionals, the one thing that I always marvel at with the music industry is that you have a lot of people working in the music industry that don't know the business. It's to me, it is almost, it is the saddest and the most hilarious thing at the same time, because you wouldn't go to a job on a job interview and you being interviewed and they say, yeah, you know what? We love you. We want to give you the position. We're going to give you the position, but listen, we don't know what we're going to pay you yet. And what we want you to do is we want you to work a 40 plus hour week. But we're with you, so we just want you to hang in there. We may pay you at the end of the month. We may pay you in 3 months, but we don't know what we're gonna pay you. Now, anybody in their right mind be like, "Nah, man, I ain't working here. You crazy? I'm not working for free." But guess what? You do. You know how many artists do that with music? You know how many business professionals do that in music? In music,
wow,
they wow. do that. And why? Because they love the music. Oh, why? You know what? No, they do that because guess what? They don't know the business. So I knew this. And I said, you know what? I want to give artists and music business professionals an opportunity to hear from some folks who have fruit, not folks like, you know, who have these grandiose ideas and want to try their theories on people.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
People that have fruit, that are proven, that you and I both know, when you look at them, say, yeah, they did those. They did those records. Yeah, they work with that artist, and this is where this artist is. Yeah, they've worked at that label, and this is, yeah. I wanted to bring people together and create an environment where artists, music business professionals could really begin to learn the biz and to be able to embrace and have a conversation with those people that are close in the proximity. Now, I've always found it funny because when we first started IMBC, everybody loved the idea. However, you know, the support is always shaky.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's always shaky. Right.
And you had some top-notch people there. You had some
exactly.
And you exactly. did it for like 2 or 3 years?
Yes. And it was on my own dime. And I guess I got to a point where you begin to realize that if it's going to be bigger, then it has to be it can't just be my money. I will stifle this conference if it's on my dime.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't do that. So, you know, and then there was a lot of other stuff happening in the business with me. And I just didn't have the bandwidth for it. Yeah. But IMBC is, I feel like IMBC is the way that we really started. I can't say that IMBC is over and done with. There could be a resurgence of it. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it definitely is that thing that it's my heart. It is my heart.
It was a great conference, man. I remember I did the first one. I spoke at the
school. Yes.
And I just came then I came to the other ones just to support it and see who else you had coming. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it was different, man. It wasn't because we went to I used to go to Advertising Week all the time. You used to go to the big one. What's the big one that I used to go to all the time? It's in the tip of my tongue. Got due to COVID-19.
South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to have that South by Southwest feel.
Yeah.
At your conference, you know, mm-hmm. and because some of those Christian conferences could be like, okay, when we get into the part about how we do publishing and all that stuff, because they do a lot of singing and not a lot of information.
Yeah, yeah, I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, like you were saying, it was great.
You're saying it was very hard to, you know, after a while you're doing it on your own dime, it's very hard to maintain that all the time. And then you inviting everybody to come through.
Yeah. And
people, you know, I'm going to say it. I was there. People was like, well, yo, can, is it legit? No.
Yes.
Of course it's legit. Let me talk about if this is legit. How many spins are you getting? Are you getting your radio presence? Yeah, we got an album, but, you know, but I just want to make sure that your stuff is official. No, are you official? Are you official?
And see, that's the thing, man. Like, the comedy of it is that you begin to see how serious artists are about investing in yourself. I learned a very, very, very powerful principle. An executive told me that the reason why he deals with me is because he said this to me. He said, the reason why I deal with you, Andre, is because you bet the bag on yourself. He said, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it sounds like, you bet the bag on yourself. And because you do that, I'm down to help you. And when you have, see, these are the things that I think people don't really understand, is that when you really do bet the bag on yourself, and people see that, then guess what? They say, yo, how can I help you? Everybody wants a handout. I even tell this to artists, like, yo, they want handouts, man. You want handouts. I'm not about handouts. I'm about, hey, if I see you moving forward, I want to help you move forward.
Right.
But I'm not moving you forward.
Right. And I think everybody wants that. Oh, you're in management? Oh, that means you could get me in. No. Hold on a second. How many places have you gotten in?
Right. And I've had, and you know what? I've had people that literally say, oh, yo, this, you know, this is my, blah, 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 blah. Yo, you think you can put them on, blah, blah, blah. And I'm listening to them. I'm like, okay, yo, they're good. And then I see certain things and I tell them, like, yeah, right. You know, this is what you need. And they're like, yo, but you know so-and-so. So what? I know so-and-so. I do know him. You're right. But I'm telling you right now, they're going to say the same thing to me. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, hey, it needs this. It needs that. And I'm just saying, I am literally saying to art, I'm practically pleading with artists now, is that, look, this is a time and an era where you don't need to get put on like that. You don't need to. All you need to do, I'm telling artists this for real, and if there's artists listening to this podcast, hear me. All you have to do is focus on creating a catalog of music. Focus on creating a catalog of music. Focus, the more music you do, the better you're going to get. You're not, stop saying, yo, well, the industry says I should just drop sync. No, focus on, I don't care which, yo, if you want to drop a single a month, drop a single a month. If you want to drop two singles, then drop an EP, then drop three singles, then drop an album, whatever.
Create just drop.
A body of work. Yes, just create, go about creating a body, a catalog of work, so that when the record does hit, I don't go back to your Spotify profile and see you got two songs up there.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, yeah, great. So, you know, we're in a high consumption of music. Music is consumed so fast, so readily, so quick. You have to have a catalog of music. And so those are the things I'm talking about. And you know, that's my position is, you know, I realize that I'm a serial entrepreneur. So I'm in the process of creating a portfolio. That's what I'm doing.
Nice.
I'm in the process of creating a portfolio where I am involved, and you'll see my portfolio embraces music, tech, and even now, like, you know, some nonprofit stuff. So that's my portfolio. And that's the portfolio I'm literally really fashioning and creating.
That's good stuff. Talk about your new podcast, bro, that you're getting ready to do something. I want you to talk about it a little bit more. Tell everybody what your podcast is about, because I think it's amazing. And I've never seen this done before.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I have a shout out to my team, here at the Inaxis Group. I love them because they allow me to do what I do. My team, Andrea, Matt, Jackie, they just allow me to do what I do. And they literally, they literally have it set up where one day after, this was literally a setup. After wow. I had spoke on a panel on Facebook, we have every Wednesday we have a quarterback meeting, right?
Mm.
And they were like, okay, you know, we need to talk. I was like, oh, excuse me, we need to talk. They're like, yeah, we need to talk. We need you to really do a podcast.
Nice.
We need you to do it. And I was like, what? Come on. And they're like, no, uh-uh. We've talked. We've heard you. We need you to do a podcast. We need you to do a podcast. And so they said, listen, you need to take a day or two, figure out what that podcast is, but you need to do one. That's what they said to me. So I'm like, oh, Lord. So I sit down. I literally am in my office at the meeting. And I'm like, all right, what podcast would I do? Duh. Talk about the biz. And I said, all right, let's talk about Behind the Biz. And as I started kind of sketching it out, and I said, you know what? I'm really going to commit to this. We're going to do 3 seasons of Behind the Biz. We're going to do 3 seasons of it. And I'm like, all right, what's the first season? And the first season of Behind the Biz, Behind the Music Business Podcast, is The Producer's Cut. That's what it's called. And it is slated for 13 episodes. We have 10 in the can right now.
Nice.
And they all are in post-production right now. And let me tell you, I want to tell you all the producers, but I got Grammy award winning, Dove award winning. I got some producers on there that's gonna really, really, really great conversations with, that I believe and I know people are just gonna be like, oh my gosh. And there's some that we're scheduling to round out the season. It's going to the first season, The Producer's Cut, is gonna run from somewhere this month. It's gonna start. I don't want to get a date too much, but it's running from this month to November, to this November, December. And then we're gonna do, I'm looking to do season two. Is gonna be called The Songwriter's Pen. That's what it's tentatively called. I'm gonna having some conversations with some songwriters who've written some big hits for folks. And then the third season is gonna be from the desk. And it's gonna be where we're gonna talk with some executives. You know what I'm saying? And get behind some of the things. So I've committed to 3 seasons. We're excited about it. My team is excited about it. I'm excited about it because it is discipline. It is discipline,
Tell me about it.
It's not, because we're really producing these. They're being mixed. They're being voiced. They're being edited. So it's really like we're going in. So I'm super excited about some of the things that's happening with that. And I have access now. I'm doing some work with Sony ATV right now, with my client Tassan, who is just Sony ATV. So we have a signed client.
That's a big Sony ATV.
So it's a pub deal with them. So we're excited about that. And I'm just moving. Bro, I'm just, I'm, as you know, I've you know, I keep my head down and I just do the work. And that's what I'm about. That's what
Chadwick Boseman did, and he did it with cancer.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Exactly.
Andre, thank you so much, man, for joining me on the first edition of many, the After the Kids Go to Bed Fathers edition. We give the guys a chance to talk and share some of their insights, man. Thank you so much, man. This is good,
man. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it, man. Roger, and you know, continue to do what you do, man. I see you.
See you, man. Thank you, bro.
All right, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, bye.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you would like to be notified of future episodes, please subscribe on your podcast player. If you would like to send us a message or leave us a comment, please email us at rm.afterkidsbed@gmail.com. Have a good night.